with information on the latest developments in assistive technology. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Nikki Linderman, and today we present the second instalment of our programme on the development of the bionic eye. In the previous segment, I spoke with the director of the National Vision Research Institute of Australia, Professor Michael Ibbotson. We discussed the work that he and a team of scientists are undertaking at Bionic Vision Australia, which was established in 2010, with four-year funding from the federal government. For the benefit of new listeners, BVA is a consortium of Australian institutions which are pooling their expertise and years of already completed research to develop a retinal implant, or bionic eye. The initial goal is to increase independence for those with profound blindness, most commonly caused by retinitis pigmentosa and age-related macular degeneration. Professor Ibbotson explained the two devices which they have developed to the prototype stage. The first is a wide-view device to assist with mobility and navigation. The other, a high-acuity device which will provide higher vision resolution in the middle of the eye, which helps with recognising faces. The BVA team is now about to embark on clinical trials, which will be undertaken with a strong emphasis on safety and efficacy, that is, how well the bionic eye will actually work. Their goal is to complete the clinical trials and have the first wide-view device surgically implanted in 2013 and the first high-acuity device in 2014. Today I am speaking with Dr. Lauren Ayton, a clinician with the Centre for Eye Research Australia. As part of the Bionic Vision Australia Consortium, Dr. Ayton is the Clinical Research Coordinator for the Bionic Eye Project. I asked her what stage she has reached in the patient clinical trials.
We're actually hoping to commence our clinical trials within the next year.
Oh, okay. So you haven't started yet?
No. Okay. So we're looking at the moment. We're obviously doing a lot of the preliminary research and learning more about what happens to the eye in these retinal degenerative diseases. And then, we're looking on schedule to commence the trials within the next year.
How are you going about selecting the people to take part in the trials? I'd imagine there'd be quite a few people interested. And actually also, what sort of level of visual impairment do they have?
Yeah, so you're definitely right. There's lots of people that are interested. It's very exciting technology, obviously. With our device, it's what's called a retinal bionic eye. So it's a device that actually fits into the eye itself. So that means that obviously it won't work for everyone. We're looking at people that have certain types of retinal degenerations, and the main ones we're looking at are retinitis pigmentosa and choroideremia, and also age-related macular degeneration. The people that will benefit from this technology at the start are people that really don't have much functional vision left. So we're looking for people that are what we call light perception, so able to tell the difference between light and dark only. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as we progress with the research, we hope that we'll be able to expand that to other people as well.
Yes, it says on your website that in future you'll hope to be looking at people with just a visual impairment rather than complete blindness.
For sure. And that's, obviously always the way with these sort of medical technologies. Same with the cochlear implants as well. They started with people that were completely deaf and then worked later with people that had a hearing impairment. So we hope that that will be the same for us in the future.
And we're hoping to, on AbleQuest, we're hoping to feature the cochlear experience on a future program. So that's interesting.
Fantastic.
What would someone with a bionic eye experience, for example, can they see shapes or colour perhaps, movement?
Yeah, so obviously, at this stage, a little bit hard to know exactly because our particular device hasn't actually been tested yet in people. But what we predict will happen is people will call what we call phosphenes. So they're actually little spots of light. So if, for example, you were looking towards a door, you'd actually see the edge of the door sort of mapped out with these little spots of lights or phosphenes. So unfortunately, it won't be like watching a video, and it won't be like what sort of normal vision was for these people back in the past, but it will give people some more independence, be able to make out objects in the room.
Now let's roll forward to the point where you're surgically implanting a bionic eye. How long is the process from assessment to the point when a participant can actually kind of almost hopefully live as normal a life.
Yeah. So again, it's because the surgery technique that we're using is novel and new, we couldn't exactly give an answer on that now. But we're hoping that the time of recovery will be very short. So the surgery is relatively non-invasive for eye surgery. And so we're hoping that people will be able to recover from that very quickly and then be able to start to use the device. With the device, something that, you know, it's really important to keep in mind is that, you know, it won't be something that you can switch on and then just automatically be able to use it. So we will need to provide people with training and sort of rehabilitation to get used to the new vision that they have.
It's a matter of the individual, I suppose.
Yeah, how
long it would be before they would be independent again.
For sure. And it's, you know, it's a very interesting area because, you know, some people just learn at such different rates and in different ways. So part of our challenge in our team is to make sure that we have rehabilitation processes in place that can be used by different people with different learning strategies.
When will the bionic eye, do you think, when do you anticipate the bionic eye being available to the general public?
So generally speaking, when there's a new device or a drug on the market, it's normally sort of around 8 to 10 years after the clinical trials is when it's released commercially. So obviously our aim is to try and get our technology out to as many people as soon as possible, but we probably aren't looking at around sort of 8 or 10 years from now, really.
It's definitely within reach then for a lot of people who might be at an age when they'd be looking at possibly macular degeneration down the track.
Yeah, definitely our hope is to, you know, improve and get this technology to a level where it's very useful and in as quick a time as we possibly can.
Of course. Any idea of what the cost will be? And also, would it be? Do you think it would be covered eventually by some sort of medical insurance or Medicare or whatever?
So, yeah, again, that's definitely one of our hopes, obviously. So we obviously would hope that in the future this would be a device that could be covered by some sort of insurance scheme. At this stage, we're not really able to put a price on what the technology will cost. It will depend really on, you know, the manufacturing processes that we use.
Okay. And finally, those listeners that have a vision impairment will be pricking up their ears. They'd be interested to know if you are looking for any people to take part in the clinical trials and what would they just contact the BVA or
yeah,
how would
sure.
they go about it?
So look, yeah, we're definitely happy to talk to anyone. And I always sort of say to people, I'm always want to talk to people, even if you're not interested in getting a bionic eye. So even if you think, oh, that sounds interesting, completely not for me, we still would love to talk to these people. So anyone that is interested can contact me. We have a website, www.bionicvision.org.au, and all of our contact details are listed on that site.
Okay, that's wonderful. And we will probably be able to put further details on our website when this program goes to air. Better finish there. Thank you very much, Lauren, for your time. Very interesting. And I'm sure there'll be many more questions down the track.
Great.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
That was Dr. Lauren Ayton, Clinical Research Coordinator for BVA's Bionic Eye Project. Again, you can find more information about Bionic Vision Australia and, of course, their contact details on their website, www.bionicvision.org.au. If you are profoundly blind as a result of retinitis pigmentosa and are interested in taking part in the clinical trials, Dr. Ayton is keen to hear from you. And what lies in the future? We have heard that BVA's first funding period expires in December 2013. By then, the team aims to have successfully implanted the first wide-view navigational device. This is certainly not the end of R&D for BVA, but just the beginning. Assuming their funding is continued from 2014 onwards, the team will work on the next generation prototype to improve the vision of those with some existing sight. We know from the development of similar aids, such as the cochlear implant, that the technology only becomes widely used after years of refinement and improvement. And across the world, as we heard from Professor Ibbotson in the last programme, other research institutes and commercial organisations from Japan and Korea to Germany, the US and here in Australia will also be progressing their various approaches to the next generation of the bionic eye. And a quick review of these separate efforts shows that the future of the bionic eye is focused on development in a number of areas. Firstly, future bionic eyes will offer better quality vision than current implants. For example, BVA's first prototype was a tiny microchip with 98 precisely controlled stimulation channels that allowed for electrical nerve stimulation to restore some sense of vision. BVA's second prototype, with 1,000 stimulating electrodes, will provide much higher resolution imaging. Although some bionic eyes of the future may provide vision by stimulating cells at the back of the retina, the technology for the actual processing of images will be improved. A major problem with a bionic eye is that the retina and the implant are not biocompatible, that is, the body attacks the foreign object. R&D is being conducted on different materials, including diamonds, to encapsulate the implant to minimise rejection. Bionic eyes at present last for a number of years. Future bionic eyes could last a lifetime. Implants using battery technology drain power very quickly. R&D for future bionic eyes is focusing on supercapacitors, which harvest power or wireless power transfer. At present, bionic eyes have only been implanted in patients with a congenital eye disease, retinitis pigmentosa. It is hoped that in future the technology will progress to the stage where the bionic eye could be made available to patients with age-related macular degeneration. The main hope for the future is that the bionic eye might restore enough sight for self-sufficiency. In the words of Professor Anthony Burkitt, head of the BVA project, "The sense of vision is fundamental to a person's quality of life and ability to live independently." In future AbleQuest programmes, we'll return to report on progress at BVA. We will also investigate some of the different approaches to bionic eye development undertaken by other research teams. You have been listening to AbleQuest, a programme that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Nikki Lindemann. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next time.